Bonjour à toutes et à tous, et on se retrouve pour un nouvel épisode des Manchester Series avec notre invité ce mois-ci, Jamie Finlay. Originaire du Yorkshire et basé à Manchester, Jamie est un compositeur, songwriter et au-delà de son projet personnel, un spécialiste de l'audio pour divers projets créatifs et artistiques. Son parcours est pour le moins atypique. Il s'apprête à sortir son tout premier album en tant que tel, Sundogs, dont on parlera au cours de l'interview, mais il a publié un bon nombre de titres sur Wawa45s et Development Still Music qui lui ont permis d'explorer la soul, le funk et le jazz, mais aussi la musique urbaine, hip-hop, broken beat et spoken word, ainsi que la deep house. Et il a du talent, il a joué aux côtés du jazzman Matthew Halsall qui a été l'un de nos invités pour cette émission, a ouvert pour Roy Ayers et s'est produit sur des scènes comme le London Jazz Café. Son travail a d'ailleurs attiré l'attention, il a été remixé par Mr. Scruff, a été joué par le présentateur radio Giles Peterson, Ron McLean ou encore Luke Una de Electric Chair, pour ne citer qu'eux. Et si on n'a pas encore pu apprécier un album avant 2024, c'est que ces 10 dernières années, il s'est concentré sur son travail de son et musique pour l'audiovisuel, les projets d'artistes et les industries créatives et innovantes, remportant de nombreux prix, rien que ça. Cet album donc, Sundogs, qui sortira chez Wawa45s, est un projet plus personnel qui parle d'amour et de deuil et de trouver une force positive dans les temps d'adversité. Mais personnel ne veut pas dire tout seul dans son coin pour Jamie, qui collabore allègrement avec plusieurs vocalistes, dont la jeune et talentueuse Hélène Bess-Abdi, que nous avions reçue ici pour son travail avec A Certain Ratio. C'est un album de soul électrique, de jazz spirituel et de psychédélisme, avec un songwriting solide et superbement arrangé à coups de cuivre et d'harmonie. On ne vous en dit pas plus, on passe à l'interview, et juste avant, on joue le tout premier single issu de l'album, Family. Entre deux questions, on jouera aussi Staring at the Sun et Rain Will Come.
Same for you is for me. Same. Jamie, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good here. Thanks. All good. Right then, let's get cracking. First question I've got for you is pretty much going back to the beginning. Now, yeah. I've got vague memories of us being at music college at the same time. I think actually may well have been the year above me. So I distinctly remember you hanging around those studios. I think Martin Moscrop from A Certain Ratio, he's been on this show a few times. He was one of my tutors. I don't know if he taught you at that time, but yeah, just want to ask you about a little bit of that college time and what you got out of it and what happened afterwards. You know, what was your first kind of steps when you finished the studying?
Yeah, so I'd been in a few bands before I went to City College. And I think I played bass in a number of sort of like punk bands or kind of, I guess, indie experimental stuff back in my hometown in York. So I would sort of gig around Leeds and York and Manchester and the North. And yeah, when I went to City College, I studied music production. And I guess I came out of the back of that just really wanting to make some music on my own and produce it sort of from the ground up. So I think I just learned how to actually produce. Like I hadn't really done much other than messing about with some drum machines and samplers, bits and bobs. But yeah, I came out of that with actually a kind of good understanding of how to put a track together and actually make a piece of music. So whilst I was at City College, I put together a 4-track EP. Actually, it's quite a good story, actually. I went and worked in the basement of Ninja Tune packing records for a month. And I went and stuck my CD onto the desk of a guy called Skev. He was the A&R guy there. And he called me up into the office and he was like, "This is pretty good." And he was like, we're going to feature you as a featured demo of the month on the Ninja Tune website. And they gave me a DJ set alongside Mr. Scruff for the Solid Steel radio show. And then off the back of that, I got offered a few deals, but I went with a label called Wild Wild 45s. And then I went and put out a series of music with them. It was maybe about 10 tracks in total. And yeah, so that's kind of how it all started.
That's a cool Ninja Tune story, just packing records and by stealth getting the demo in.
I got paid in records as well, which was great. So went home with 3 or 4, you know, suitcases full of vinyl, basically, which I was happy with at the time.
I would be happy with that any time, yeah.
And so Sundog is your upcoming album and one of the reasons why we are doing this show today. You've released, as you just said, tracks here and there. But is it your first actual full-length album? And yeah, just wanted to ask if you can talk to us about it a little bit, if it's been a long process or you feel like you've breezed through it.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I haven't actually released an album, but I've put out probably 3 or 4 albums worth of music. I also work a lot in composition for film and sort of interactive media and installations and things like that. And I've written a huge amount of music for that as well. I've been doing that really for about the last 10 years. So working in art and working with artists and museums and galleries and game studios and filmmakers and all sorts of stuff. And I think I just got to a point where I really, really wanted to make something for myself that was my own kind of creative project that really had my identity on it and that was something that I could really stand by and say, this represents me as an artist and as a, you know, as a person. And I think, like with many people, there was a long period of reflection during lockdown. And I think I just gathered together a lot of music that I'd kind of started and not really finished and just really worked at it. Some of the basic ideas had been kicking around maybe for 10 years. Some of them were brand new. But I guess in terms of working on it as a cohesive piece of work, which I feel like the album is, yeah, I think I did the whole thing in about 18 months. So, yeah, because some of the demos were really just like a loop or a drum beat or, you know, a song that I'd kind of demoed on the piano or whatever. But yeah, the actual kind of like process of putting it all together took about took about 18 months, I think.
Just on the album, there's quite a lot of featured vocalists, a lot of collaborations on there. Kamani Anderson, Caitlin, Ellen Beth Abdi, who's also been a guest on this show previously, with via ATR. So while you're doing a lot of the, you know, your drums, the synths, the bass, How does it work in terms of the collaborating with vocals? Do you feed them pretty much a complete track, as it were, or is it more of a collaboration? And, you know, does it kind of evolve as it goes along?
So previously I was doing a lot of singing, and it was something that I kind of fell into by accident, really. But I've been writing vocals and singing for a long time, but I was never really that confident as a vocalist. It's not something that I kind of, you know, a lot of singers I know are just, you know, they're a singer. You know, the people that are working on the album, they are singers and they get up every day and do that. That's just not me. But I do like writing, and I can sing to a certain standard, but I just wanted this to kind of, I wanted to remove myself from that, because I find that I lack a bit of objectivity when it's my own voice I'm listening to and mixing. So I really wanted to work with other vocalists on this. And yeah, so in terms of the collaboration, all of the tracks apart from the one that features Caitlin LM, which is a complete collaboration, I just sent Caitlin the music for that and she wrote a vocal. We had a conversation about subject matter and then she just went away and wrote it, and we were very much on the same page in terms of like the themes about what we were writing about. But the other tracks, I wrote all the lyrics and melodies and arrangements and all of it. However, working with Ellen Beth Abdi, she's kind of, I think she's on six tracks of the album. We sort of did one track together and just, you know, there was a really good meeting of minds there, and we just ended up working together on a lot of it. So Ellen helped me a lot with vocal arrangements, like harmonies, kind of stacking vocals, which she's very good at that. And there's a lot of kind of big, kind of Charles Stepney-esque rotary connection type kind of backing vocals on there. And yeah, Ellen helped a lot with that. And the same with Kamani. Got Kamani in the studio to do a track that I'd written, and he just really went for it in terms of stacking and layering up and getting this really big sound that I was trying to achieve. And honestly, the vocalists on the album have been incredible, and it's just been great working with all of them. They're such a talented group of people, and I feel like I've got like the sort of three best sort of singers to come out of Manchester in a long time, to be honest. I'm really, you know, it's been a pleasure working with them all.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, super talented bunch, really are.
Yeah.
Now, on the album, there's like, well, in your music generally, there's quite what I think is a really nice balance between kind of jazz and more electronic and house influences, that kind of thing. I mean, you mentioned earlier that you started off in experimental indie bands, which I found a little bit surprising, because your music is so soulful, you know, and that's primarily how I know you, through that kind of stuff. So are they your primary influences? Are you more on the soul side, or did you grow up with a lot of jazz, for example, or... How did that?
Well, my mum was like she was just very much into rock. Like, so she was actually involved in the music industry. And so she like ran away from home when she was 16 and went to work for the tour manager for Jimi Hendrix. So she kind of knew a lot of those people. So I grew up on things like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin. But there was always a big kind of Motown was always being played in my house. And that, I guess, I was always nicking my mum's Motown tapes and rinsing them, basically. So I was always into soul, but when I was a kid, one of my mum's friends, actually, I used to listen to, I was a big Beastie Boys fan, and somebody, one of my mum's friends who's just a big kind of soul music fan, sort of heard it and was like, that's Curtis Mayfield, that's this. And I was like, who? You know, and I didn't really understand the concept of a sample then, you know, I just assumed they were just playing it. And they were like, no, that's Curtis Mayfield, that's this, that's that. And then they made me a tape, which just had all of these different kind of like, you know, soul tracks on there. And I just was, yeah, obsessed with that. And I think Curtis Mayfield's always been a really big influence, just because it was the first soul thing that I heard that I realized how kind of political and interesting that kind of music could be. You know, it was my first divergence from Motown, really, you know. Which is, I guess, you know, very pop music. But yeah, listening to Curtis made me realize, you know, there's this whole other sort of side to soul music. Yeah, and then I think I got into jazz in my late kind of late teens, early 20s. And even though I was in sort of punk bands, I was always listening to soul and jazz and funk and stuff like that. And then, I guess the influences on the album, I mean, I listen to a really wide range of stuff. I'm into a lot of electronic music, a lot of kind of, you know, I used to go to like a really banging techno club called The Orbit. I remember that. And yeah. I was like, just, you know, like yeah, really kind of full on techno. But I think, like, influences wise, coming to Manchester and going to clubs like Electric Chair just blew my mind open in terms of music and what, you know, what I was listening to at the time. And, you know, I think going to those gigs and going to those club nights and hearing music just kind of cross these eclectic borders, you know, that just, yeah, I mean, that really opened my mind to a lot of stuff, a lot of, like, interesting house, proto house and soul and, you know, dancefloor soul, disco, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, but I think the influences on the album are probably, like I mentioned before, Charles Stepney. I'm really a massive fan of Rotary Connection, and Mizell Brothers I really love as well. I tend to look back a lot to sort of 70s stuff. It's just what I was kind of really listening to. Lonnie Liston Smith, James Mason, Herbie Hancock, who are absolutely massive fanboy of Herbie Hancock as well. So Headhunters era. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I was just listening to a lot of that. And I think one of my friends, actually Sneaky from Finger Thing, was once said to me, like, you got to have good music coming in to make good music going out. So I just did a lot of listening before kind of doing anything, really. I just listened to music a lot and, like, really kind of focused on that. Yeah.
Well, that's pantheon of greats there that you've just listed.
Yeah.
Don't argue with that at all.
I'm going to change topics slightly. You started a business called We Make Audio in 2019, and you produce music for the creative industries, like commercial films, games, but also the arts world. What led you to that? And does working with a brief and deadlines feed the musician in you, or is it two very distinct sides of your work?
Yeah, it's complicated. Because I don't just work in music in the creative industries. I do a lot of audio production and direction as well. So I'll kind of work with people to sort of figure out what their creative and technical like audio requirements are, whether that's music, sound design, sound effects, or kind of installations and stuff like that. You know, I work with people, whether that's a company or a specific artist, and I help them kind of realize that. So it could be if the music composition falls within my kind of remit as a music maker, then I will do it. If not, I'll bring somebody else in who might be a better match. Initially, it was through necessity because I needed to earn some money, and it was a skill set that I had that I knew that I could lean into. So I kind of did a lot of work that I wasn't, you know, particularly proud of, but like I think after sort of, I've been doing that for like 10 years now, so I guess I've just established myself in those industries, and I can work in fields that I'm interested in and actually find quite, you know, challenging. And whether it's a sort of challenging like technically or challenging creatively, I do find it really rewarding work. But yeah, but like I say, working to a brief, it's just very different. There's less kind of room to play, you know, as an artist, or to be playful, I guess. Because there's deadlines and you're working to a specific brief. There's not no room to do that. There's room to kind of, but there's definitely less room to sort of express yourself, you know, in terms of kind of what you're, you know, trying to put something really personal into it, which is why I felt like I really wanted to make this album, because there was just this itch that I wanted to scratch, which was just to let myself go completely immersed into making something completely creative without any, like, I didn't even, during the making of the album, I didn't think at all about the end point. I wasn't like, right, I'm going to put it out on this label, I'm going to do this with it. I was just trying to stay completely in the moment with it and take it literally day by day, track by track, session by session, and just enjoy it, you know. And I think I've put a lot of pressure on myself around writing music, and it doesn't help you get to where you want to be, you know, as an artist. It's a hindrance, really, putting that pressure on yourself. So with this, I just wanted to kind of remove any sort of constraints in terms of, you know, what the end goal was. The end goal was just to create, basically. And I guess that is something that you don't get in commercial work. You know, you don't get that freedom. But at the same time, you know, writing to a brief can be really super helpful, you know. And I think it also taught me, doing 10 years of work in that field has really taught me how to finish shit, you know, to actually say, right, okay, get it done, get it out the door, you know, which is a skill in its own right, you know, because you can sit on things for a long time. And sometimes you've just got to let things go and without it being perfect or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a skill set I'm working on constantly. Still haven't achieved that one. Yeah, a little way to go. So we'll start wrapping things up. We've got a single out already. When's the album due to roughly be coming out? And have you got any plans to do any gigs or in the UK or maybe further afield?
Yeah, so there'll definitely be some gigs coming down the line. The album is coming out ahead of summer. Still kind of not officially announced yet, but, you know, it's a very poorly kept secret. So everybody knows. But yeah, the single Family is out now, and that features Ellen Beth Abdi on vocals. Really excited about how that's been going. Yeah, we have three or four singles coming out before the album drops. Then there'll be an album launch in London, album launch in Manchester. And I've actually got a gig with the full band on the 21st of April at a venue called Low Four in Manchester. Which is quite exciting. And there'll be tickets on info on my Instagram site relatively soon, I think. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to the live act. Everybody on the album is playing live with us, which is exciting because they're all super talented. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Hopefully I can keep up with them.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it all, and definitely looking forward to this mix that you've done for us, an hour-long selection of your influences and current faves. And thanks again for your time. It's been really good to catch up.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. Thanks a lot for having me.
Merci encore à Jamie pour cette interview. Il nous a préparé un mix pour explorer ses influences qui nous emmènent autour du monde à coups de jazz, de songwriting aux arrangements incroyables et de perles plus exotiques. C'est parti, et nous, on se retrouve le mois prochain.
There was rain today, and crystal blue was hidden by a cloudy gray. A sudden shower come to chase the sun away. Occasional rain. And damn the weatherman, he seems to work against me any way he can. And he's been dealing teardrops since the world began. And occasional shining through you, still you will not see, and blue you think I'm trying to undo you, when I only want to see the truth. Tell you when, but someday soon we'll see the sun reborn again, and there'll be light without as well as light. And occasional rain, and occasional
just for the record, you were talking shit. Long rap about no knock being legislated for the people you've always hated in this hellhole that we call home. No knock, the man will say. say, to keep that man from beating his wife. No knock, the man will say, to protect people from themselves. No knocking, head rocking, enter shocking, shooting, cussing, killing, crying, lying, and being white. No knock. No knocked on my brother Fred Hampton, bullet holes all over the place. No knocked on my brother Michael Harrison, jammed a shotgun against his skull. For my protection, who's gonna protect me from you? The likes of you, the nerve of you, to talk that shit face to face, your tomato face deadpan, your deadpan deadening another freedom plan. No knocking, head rocking, into shocking, shooting, cussing, killing, crying, lying, and being white. But if you're wise, no knocker, you'll tell your no-knocking lackeys, ha! No knock on my brother's head, no knock on my sister's head, no knock on my brother's head, no knock on my sister's head, and double lock your door, because soon someone may be no-knocking, ha! Ha! For you, 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 you.
Search a city for millions of years, you ain't finding nothing like me though. Many people wanna be the villain appears. Tell me where you really fight me though. Oh, I ain't think so, damn. But I've but they still want to put up their hands. Cause the song slap and they want dance. Why hold back? This is your chance. I'm all that. This is a turn up your ass. Won't fill up the gas. Just fill up. I fill up my hill up your ass. A real one, we kill them and fill them to that. Mill them and send them to pick up the slack. I's ill. I know you couldn't handle the chill. How about I hand you some NY Quill? Blue is lit. I told the man to spill. Blue or red? Come on, you choose the pill. Do you want less or total? Unconceal me. Rude, the airy, ludicrous, the real me type of bitch to really bust your head. The one with smoke for real, the spliff is dead. Let me get the rhythm of your head. Let me get the rhythm of your feet. You already know that I be high, dog. You ain't holding nothing over me. Let me get the rhythm of your hands. Let me get the rhythm of your feet. You already know that I be high, dog. You ain't holding nothing over me. Let me get the rhythm of your hands. Let me get the rhythm of your feet. You already know that I be high, dog. You ain't holding nothing over me. You ain't holding nothing over me. You ain't holding nothing over me. You ain't holding nothing over me.
Now let's get the rhythm of the head ding dong. Can't catch the rhythm of the beat. Be gone. I've been OG like since he ons. Y'all weak nigga, bro. Please be ons. I put both feet in each recipe, but we'll slap the taste back out for free. I act up like see that's NBC. I got previews, reviews, and receipts. Cool. Put that BS to ease. Say less GESP. I don't fuck with no fuck shit caprice. I ride hot caprice, stay fresh caprice. Ooh wee. Don't let your pride get too gee. Laid out flat 2D. My dogs walk and talk Scooby. We up popping off while you sleep. Please take a seat. More than me. You ain't holding nothing over me. You ain't holding nothing over me. You ain't holding nothing over me.
Chita, mi abuela, mi chita.
Sanjali, you're me. Sanjali, you're me. Your fanny's like two sperm whales floating down the sand, yeah. Your voice is like a long fart that's music to your brain. Your eyes are two blind eagles that kill what they can't see.
Yeah. buzzing lemon, a man. Like I'm by you, but I hear you, please, the buzzing lemon, a man. This is about me and your tibiga. This is about Nazi lemon.
The bomb was Zula Bazua.
Bye.
right. What's the matter with you? Hold me tight. Why must I tell you what to do? Smiling, smiling. Right.